Hey, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of What's Up with Danny. We are at episode 105, I think. 105, 104, something like that. I probably should have checked before I started recording this intro. But if this is your first episode, thank you. What took you so long? Nah, I'm just kidding. Welcome to the family. We appreciate you checking us out, giving us a listen. Hopefully you enjoy what you hear. And if this is not your first episode, if you've been here before, welcome back. It's great to see ya. Haven't heard from you in a while. Don't be a stranger. That's something I hear people say a lot. I'm sure I've said it too. It's an interesting thing. I hear it from like a lot of family. And if you're listening, family, this isn't me saying this is a bad thing. But you often hear a lot of people say, don't be a stranger, who will like never reach out to you ever. And I think it's important to realize from both perspectives, if someone says don't be a stranger and they're not a person that reaches out to you, don't feel weird about that. They have a busy life just like you do. And on the flip side, if you are one of those people that say don't be a stranger, don't hold it against a person if you say that to them and then they don't reach out to you. You have just as much of a responsibility to reach out to them if you want to. So I don't know why I felt the need to establish that thought just now while I was saying it, but here we are. Anywho, let's get into the episode. Today's guest is a very talented artist and tattoo artist. It is none other than Emily Kilvers. You might know Emily if you've been tattooed by her or if you have purchased one of her pieces of art. She's been doing this for a while. This was great to sit down and chat with her. It gets pretty emotional, I'm not going to lie. You know, I hate that now that I say that, ever since we had Dave, Dr. Dave, on. Now when I think about when I say like, oh, I'm not going to lie, or if I'm being honest, kind of makes me feel like I'm sounding like I'm never honest. Dr. Dave, damn it, why'd you have to call me out on that? No, it's a lie. Thank you for calling me out on it. Oof, we are all over the place on this intro. But let me get right down to it. Like I said, this one was a little bit emotional. Emily really got vulnerable with us, started talking about some things she's experienced in the tattoo industry and in previous employment situations that she's had. She gets, you know, real emotional about it, and it was a part of her, and it's a part of her career that's been, you know, somewhat troubling, but she was very open and very honest, and I thought it was a great conversation. So Emily, if you're listening, thank you again for your time. Thank you for getting a little bit vulnerable with us. I think our conversation will help people if they're, especially people who are trying to get into that industry, and kind of give them a heads up as to some things they might need to know. So again, thank you for your time. But we break down her career path, some of the stuff she's done in the past, what her goals are, and her future plans as far as being an artist and being in tattooing goes. Yeah, really interesting stuff. It's great to have her, and I hope you all enjoy this episode. You can also watch this episode. It is up on YouTube right now. Just go to our YouTube channel. The link is in the information for this episode, as well as if you just look up What's Up with Danny Pod on YouTube, you can find us there. There we have a few other episodes and videos as well, and yeah, very exciting. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Share us with a friend, a coworker, a pet, an enemy. Yeah, whatever. Just show us to somebody. We'd really appreciate it. Give us a 5-star rating if you feel so inclined to. Yeah, any little bit helps. So we appreciate it. You can find us on Facebook/ What's Up with Danny, at What's Up with Danny Podcast on Instagram. Like I said before, we've got a YouTube. You can find us on all the streaming sites, pretty much wherever you are on the internet. I bet you can find us. Or whatever. Yeah, I think I promoted everything. I did such a good job. Oh, cool. This one started out pretty out there and kind of all over the place, but I think we got right down to the point. Come see Hexing July 9th at the Pyramid Scheme in Grand Rapids. We'll be playing with Years Later, Valet Amore, I don't know how to say it, and Seaholm. Should be a good gig. We have tickets for that for $13. Just hit myself up or anybody in the band. And in the meantime, enjoy this episode with Emily Kilvers. I just really don't understand. I don't vibe with a lot of the reality shows, though, too.
Just like when you watch something on the History Channel, man. Like, it's like if you, I don't know, obviously, probably haven't, but if you watch, like, Deadliest Catch or, like, The Curse of Oak Island.
I love that show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I have watched every single episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm salty.
Yeah.
I'm getting sick of it.
Yeah, it's just the same thing over and over again now.
Where's the treasure? Now they're making it about, like, the history.
Oh, yeah, they had to do that because there wasn't anything to go off of at that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like that Civil War gold that they taped in, like, Muskegon.
Yeah. Yeah, that died off real
fast.
That
was a big deal. I remember people were abuzz about that for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And then it just, it seemed like it kind of died off. Zach, his family was involved in that somehow.
I forget
exactly. But
cool.
One of our, like, a guy I play in a band with, his family was, like, involved in that in some way.
Right on.
But I feel like, I don't know if maybe, like, people that are involved in it aren't really allowed to talk about it, you know? Because, like, I feel like when we talked about it, he was really vague about things, you know? Like, so maybe he knows where the gold is and he can't say for fear of, like, his life or something. I don't know how it all works, maybe.
They didn't want to give the secret away.
Yeah.
That it was just a bunch of whatever.
It's like when you're on The Bachelor and you win The Bachelor, but you have to go, like, 6 months without talking about how you won The Bachelor.
Yeah, that.
You know?
Yeah.
Because they film it, like, a year in advance or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think our GoPros don't want to work today.
Not working?
No.
Damn.
I broke them.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Well. They've been being weird lately anyway, so.
Well, we did, like, a little over 4 years with no video. We can handle it. It's not supposed to. It's a podcast anyway.
Yeah.
People are listening to this. I couldn't figure. This is a sidebar. We can cut this out. I couldn't
not cutting
figure
it out
the video for Bobby's episode. Just
what?
So you know, I couldn't figure out. I got it to half download, and then my computer just was like, "Nope, no more." So I gotta go back. I posted the episode today, though.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, I think that's enough banter. We covered enough bases. Thank you for doing this. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
For sure. I reached out to you. I saw you post on the internet. Sorry, we bumped knees there. That was a little strange. Oh.
That's cute. Yeah.
We'll just keep them like that.
Yeah,
we'll
don't.
I wish I hadn't brought
it up. Take
your
knee off of my knee.
This is great. I wish I hadn't brought it up. Like, I felt weird about it. I reached out to you because I saw a post saying that you had been tattooing for 10 years now.
Yes.
Which is incredible. Congratulations for making it to there.
Thank you.
And it kind of got me realizing we've never had, in all, like, the different artists and things that we've had on here before, we've never really interviewed somebody who does tattoos. So here we are now. And now we're going to just kind of start off a little bit. Just give me, like, just like a rough idea of what kind of got you started or where you found, like, that itch to sort of start tattooing and find that sort of fulfilling.
So I kind of just fell into it, to be honest. Growing up, I was never around people with tattoos, so my family seems to be on the conservative side, whatever.
Sure.
So I'm obviously not with all my tattoos, so they say, with all of the judgment, that's mainly what it is. So basically, Tony Putt, I don't know if you know who that is. He got a hold of me on Facebook. He's another tattoo artist in the area. He got a hold of me and he was like, "Hey, you should look into tattooing, like getting an apprenticeship." Because I would post my art all the time anyway. So I went and looked for one and I got one and it was downtown Holland. I think, how old was I? 19? So, yeah, it's been a minute, you know, breaking my back to get there, but I'm still here kicking, so,
hell yeah.
You know.
Very nice.
So I hope I answered the question. I do that sometimes. I just kind of like will jump tracks. A train of thought is just like.
Everybody does it. So you're good.
We will do this more than once over the course of this recording for sure.
Absolutely.
I'll start off with a question and end up asking a totally different question. So bear with us as well. So 19, I mean, that's like one of those ages where you just don't really, I guess most people at 19 like think they have it figured out, but they don't really have it figured out. But I mean, for you to kind of know, or at least have an idea of what you wanted to do and still be doing it, I mean, that's pretty amazing. When you're 19, I mean, what did it, like, did you kind of, what expectations, I guess, are you going in with at that age to start with this in your apprenticeship?
Honestly, I had no idea. I used to be really shy. I didn't really have a lot of friends. And going through my apprenticeship and getting to where I am now, you know, you go through, like, you kind of grow up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think, honestly, I forgot the question.
Just, like, the expectations that you had, maybe, or just, like, initial feelings once you started your apprenticeship.
Oh, that I was going to be dealing with a lot of crap. Yep. Mm-hmm. So 2012, I feel like the tattooing industry really started to more so take off after Instagram really became a thing.
Yeah.
So before that, tattooing was like super, super gatekeepy. It still is to a degree where like the information is, you know, gatekept, but like old school tattoo artists and I guess it doesn't go for all old school people. I'm talking about like the older generations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't like new,
right,
which is understandable. So coming in and being new or whatever, you have to deal with other personalities. And just like with musicians and stuff, there are some people where you could just really bump heads with them.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of just going into, not even going into knowing where I would even be at today. I honestly, partially was doing it out of spite. Was doing the career out of spite against my family, or spite against something, spite. Yeah. For something, I don't know.
I think it's against, like when you do something to spite somebody, it's kind of like going against what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a really good like childhood, so especially with a parent that says your art is never good enough, and I'm still dealing with that, but I just don't even talk to that person anymore.
Right.
So it's just kind of like it kind of started with that, and then the pressure really started to hit hard in 2016, because I was getting way too many clients, which sounds, the way that I said that, which is like kind of shitty. So basically, when I worked at this shop, they were booking appointments for me. And when you do that, really, it should be considered you're employed by that shop, but shops get away with the, like, not having to do specific taxes, treating people, whatever. They should be treating, or we should all be considered employees and not self-contractors.
Right.
If they're controlling the hours and stuff.
Yeah.
So
it's
pretty crazy if you look at apprentices now as opposed to when I started. I had to scrub tubes. I had to, like, do all of these things that I am so, so, so glad that, like, my apprentice, for example, she never had to do that. Like, I see now that the generations, like, or, yeah, the more, the farther we get with, like, knowledge and, like, all of, like, the stuff on the internet you could just find anyway,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
I don't know. I feel like I got rambly.
But, so it sounds like it was kind of like a you had to, how do you say it? Is it run so they could walk or walk so they could run? I feel like it'd be run so they could walk, right? This is the new thing that people say. It sounds like gibberish, but I get what you're saying.
Like she's doing most of the heavy lifting so they don't have
to. Yeah, so that future generations don't necessarily have to go through the same steps that you might have had to go through.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like being at 50% commission for almost your whole career.
Oh, yeah.
Not being able to pay your medical bills.
Hmm.
Or get seen by a doctor because you don't have any insurance.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
It gets fun. You know?
Right.
So, full-time tattoo artist, but mm-hmm. it is what it is.
Interesting. So, they kind of do it, maybe, is it similar to, like, someone who might work in a salon where they kind of rent the chair that they're using and then they, like, book their appointments or whatever? It's kind of similar to that, maybe?
Yes. Very okay. similar. Yeah. Very, very similar. I don't know. I'm sorry. Train gone. Train left the station there.
No worries.
That's going to happen. I apologize.
You're good.
My attention span. I'm not drawing.
Yeah.
There's nothing here. Yep. I have no paper. I can't take notes. I can't draw little doodles. I don't know what's happening.
No worries. So tell me, I guess, a little bit when you maybe started to get the sense that you were on your way, like during your apprenticeship, or if you have like a specific moment where you're like, oh, okay, I think I'm getting the hang of this. Like, I think I could make it as a tattoo artist. Like, do you have like that first initial idea?
As a creative person, do you ever feel like that?
Ooh, that's a great answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard for me. Like, I go back and look on old drawings. Like, I made a coloring book back in 2016. Big yikes. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Especially for doing art every day and it being permanent on people. It's a lot of pressure.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I never really think about it like that from, like, the tattoo artist's perspective. Because whenever I think about tattoos, like, I'm one of those people that's always like, oh, I just want all the tattoos, and then I just don't go follow through with it, you know?
Yeah.
I've always been like that. I would love to sit here like Andy and just have both my arms just covered in tattoos, but it's just I lack the initiative to go forward with it, I guess.
Understandable.
But I remember, like, telling my parents that as a kid, and they would be like, you know, that's forever, right? You can't just, like, get something tattooed. What happens when you're older and you regret it forever or something, I guess. But I never really think about it, like, from the tattoo artist perspective. Because, yeah, you are putting something on somebody that's permanent, and it's like you kind of risk, like, what if they don't like it? What if they, you know, they get upset with you because they don't like it? Then you're kind of, that is a lot of pressure, I mean.
Then you also have to worry about, like, if you do something that they don't like, they're going to go and tell everyone they know that they don't like that artist.
Yeah.
So therefore, then your word of mouth isn't in a positive way.
Yeah.
Then you got people kind of like, oh, I heard that artist isn't very good because blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's lots of things to worry about, I'm sure.
I've had that actually recently. People talking crap because the last couple years working at Brenda Sue's Tattoos, which I don't recommend anybody working there ever, seriously. The last couple years of working there, I was so mentally beat down and gaslit to the point where, like, mm-hmm. you don't know up from down. And I think that he preyed on me because he could already see that I had, like, cracks in the wall from childhood. You prey on the weak people.
Right.
But basically, because I couldn't pay my medical bills, because I couldn't go and get my arm looked at, I just continued to suffer. So I would go to tattoo because I had to make money. back then, my husband and I, we lived over in Holland. So I would be driving from, like, by the lake to Grand Rapids back and forth. So after a tattoo was done, or even during a tattoo, depending on how long it took, whatever, I would have to go and lay down in the back of the shop and just lay there. And I would just lay there and cry because, like, the middle of my back hurt so bad. And it was just, like, it was so terrible. And then you get in a Jeep. I'm a tiny person, so I get in the big old man Jeep, you know? And then I'm like, okay, this is great. Not, because you're, like, hitting all the bumps, and then my neck, like, I just could not move it. Right. So it's something to do with right here, right there. It's like a freaking rock in there. Mm-hmm. But, so old school artists, there was a dude that worked there. He got hired after me. He used to work at Mos Eisley's back in the day, and he moved to New Orleans. Bye-bye. Uh-huh. And then he came back, right? So my ex-boss gave him a job. And then I found out this dude didn't have any clients, nothing. And he was rude to me and my other coworker because we had the internet presence that he didn't have because he was an old person and didn't know how to use it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
So I found out that he was at 75% and my head about exploded because I had been there for 4 years and how much business have I brought in and then treated like crap. And then this dude comes in and I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
All right.
Or how about when you find out from the like pandemic assistance or whatever, I found out that I got more money like getting paid from the government than I was getting being a tattoo artist for the past 10 years. Like, what? So I was like, oh, this is why I can't afford to go to the doctor and why my whole life is falling apart. Uh-huh. You know? So it was like a whole thing. Mm-hmm. Basically, moral of the story is that there's still people out there today that I know that are preying on young people that really want to get into the industry because it's cool to be a tattoo artist, right?
Right.
So they take their unsuspecting victims and have them do all of this free labor. There's nothing protecting them. They're not even guaranteed an apprenticeship at the end or of, like, how much hazing they go through throughout it or whatever. There's a lot. There's a lot behind the scenes. Luckily, like I was saying, it's not... From what I understand, I mean, I haven't been in a shop like that for a little bit now, so, like, I'm totally removed from it. I don't even, like, think about it.
Uh-huh.
But there's still, like, even, like, sexual assault allegations and stuff. Like, in this day and age, like, really, dude? You know what I mean? Like, or really, person? You know, like... Mm-hmm. Because it could be a chick doing that, too, you know? I don't know. Like, people are creepy.
Yeah. So. What are, knowing what you know now, I guess, what are some things you might tell people that are looking to get into that industry? Like, some warning signs or things that you might, because there may be people that are listening to this right now that are listening to you talk, and they're like, oh, I didn't know that could be a thing. Like, so knowing what you know now, I mean, what are some things, like, you wish you could have been told when you first got in?
People-wise or, like, generally, like, overall job?
Maybe both. Okay. Either way, I guess.
I wish that someone talked to me more about, like, ergonomics, but there's really no government regulation within the tattooing industry, from what I understand still. So there's not really, you know, workplace
guidelines, whatever, and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of have that, but it's more so, like, for bloodborne pathogens.
Right.
You know? Mm. So.
More so for your clients, not for the actual artist.
Yeah, like, workplace controls, work practice, whatever, I don't care. I tried, I'm like, I don't know. Let's see. I don't remember what I was just saying. I'm sorry. I don't remember. I apologize.
No worries.
What were we talking about?
We were I think we were about to go over like things that you would maybe say to people now that were getting into the industry at a younger age.
So it's hard because you can't, like, being younger, you're not, it's hard to be able to tell that people older than you are manipulating you. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, the best way I can explain it, have you watched any of the new It's Always Sunny episodes? That, well, like new.
A little bit here and there, possibly.
There's a specific episode in it where Dee, she's teaching this acting class or something, and this girl comes up, and she's just like, oh my gosh, like, I really want to be an actress, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then Dee, like, the monologue, she says it out loud, you know? She's like, oh, now I can make her do whatever I want. Like, some weird, like brainwashing control thing. And that's literally what it is. It's like taking young, super hopeful, inspired people and literally crushing them.
Mm. Belittling them.
Belittling. Like, there's so much. Especially working with all dudes, pretty much, like, my whole
career. Right, it's a pretty male-driven career.
Yeah, now I work at an all-woman shop.
There you go.
Right on. And what has that experience been like for you since you've, I mean, how long have you been working there?
February 2021.
Okay, so a little over a year.
Not too long.
Not long, yeah.
So, it's an all-woman shop, and we're super nerds, so I pretty much do, like, the Pokemon tattoos. Christy, Moxie Foxy, she does, Digimon tattoos and also, like, new school traditional, like, in her own style. Uh-huh. And then my just recently graduated apprentice, so tattoo artist, Kaylee, her Instagram is Lovely. She does super cute, like, kawaii little, I don't even know, but they're so cute that I can't even explain it. You just would have to see. Mm-hmm. So we all just do, like, nerdy stuff. We also do, like, other stuff. So I have been working on teaching, like, different styles or, like, having that knowledge in the shop that if they want to ask me, they can. Because I have the most experience in the shop. So, being versatile.
I usually say it both ways.
Yeah, I think it works. It's a pretty versatile word.
I see what you did there.
Cool. Thank you. I'm glad that worked out. I felt pretty good about it.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a nicer environment to work in, a little more comfortable, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what in your mind, and we don't have to keep talking about this if you don't want to, so just, like, anytime if I ask you something you don't want to talk about, just let me know.
I'll be like, no.
Exactly, perfect. Perfect, that's a perfect way to put it.
I'm just kidding. So, I just get up and just, like, with a table, just leave.
That actually, a side note, if that were to happen, I don't know how I would react. That, like, no one has ever, like, stormed out before, and now it kind of makes you want to just have one time, right? Not that I really want that to happen, but I just want to see what would cause somebody. Because, like, I don't feel like I would ever ask somebody a question where they'd
just, like, rage-inducing.
Yeah. Like, at least I like to think I wouldn't. I guess I'm capable of anything. I don't know.
Right.
But... yeah, just a side note. I wonder I have to wonder what that question would be to get somebody to storm off, you know? I don't know. I don't know if I really want to know, but...
Nope.
I kind of do want to know, but that's for Googling later. Some, like, some Urban Dictionary questions. Just kidding.
Yeah. I'm going to do some research on the next one. We have Trev on Wednesday. I'll see what I can do to get him
to bail. I have to talk to you about that, by the way.
Oh, on Wednesday?
Yep.
Cool. Put that in there so we know to cut it out. But anyways, so.
I don't know what that means, but I'm just going to be here. I'll be like, what's up?
What if me clapping was what did it? Me clapping was like, I don't know what that's about. And then you just flip the table up and you stormed out of here.
Yes. That's that's my first impression on both of you. It's just destroy. destroy this room. And they'll be like, yes, everything you heard about her is true. She is a bitch. And I'll be like, oh, no.
So, I mean, okay, so the question I was getting at, I guess, before we just went off into that fun little tangent. I mean, to work, you know, to go from one place to another like this, where it sounds like they're two totally opposite ends of the spectrum, what, I mean, just, like, maybe for somebody else who's kind of going through this and doesn't really know how to, like, find their way out or doesn't really think that they can get their way out, you know? Like, what was really, like, the kicker that kind of made you finally, like, I can't take this anymore. Let me get somewhere else, you know?
Well, it sucks being honest, you know? Like... putting it out there that you were that vulnerable to the point where someone could manipulate you that bad. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was going to get emotional. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Basically, it's like getting trapped in a abusive relationship. You know, like people are always like, why don't you just leave? And it's like, it's not that easy. It's like, they make you feel like you're part of a family at first, right?
Right, so you get super attached.
Yep, and then they purposely ostracize you. They purposely put you, like, right on the outside of, like, the family circle so that you're always trying to get that acceptance.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you have the insults or, like, the not trusting, like, there was a couple times that I was blamed for stealing. I actually, they told me that if I didn't let them see my PayPal, that I'd get fired.
What?
Yeah. So there was that. So it's kind of hard, like, I wouldn't say that everybody would end up in something like that, because, like, the dude that I worked for, I don't know. I don't know. It's a rough thing to talk about, you know? Sorry.
Oh, you're totally okay. You're good.
Like, that shit fucked me up, dudes.
Yeah.
Fucked me up.
Yeah, we can believe that. For sure.
Yeah. So, the way I got out of there, because I was still trying to fight for acceptance, I technically got fired. They kicked me out.
Did you go out with a bang?
Of course I did. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. It was satisfying. But then, on the internet, my makeup's all messed up now. On the internet, so you know how there's Apple Maps, right?
Uh-huh.
So if you tag something on Facebook, the location, it shows on Apple Maps. So I had been tagging my Facebook page location at the shop because that's where my business was. So after I left, they're technology illiterate. Let's start that right here. So they were looking, and they were accusing me of hacking into Apple Maps or something. And if I did that, like if I was hacking into Google, then that means I would be federally charged because the CIA uses those same satellites to monitor people and whatever. And I, like... straight up, they were calling me, like, basically a master hacker. And I was like, shit, I'm going to be a tattoo artist if I was a master hacker.
No shit. Me? Way more money doing that.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, thank you for the compliment, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, you know, like, what is it, doxing? Is that where people, like, no, not doxing. Whatever the word is, or like, okay, so if someone does you wrong and they have a business, then your friends, without you asking, they go and comment on their shit and they give them 1-star reviews and they're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they did that. And Ron, he got so mad. He got so mad about that, that he, I had to change my number because he put it out there, but he was putting my personal business out there. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And and mentioned about me being mentally ill, which is totally inappropriate.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you know what? You get complex PTSD when you got some fucked up shit that happened to you. Sorry, I'm swearing a lot.
You're good.
Totally fine. Okay. People swear.
Whatever you want.
On this, yeah.
This is your show today.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm over here crying. Stupid. I hate crying. But it just sucks because, like, I feel like I'm a pretty strong person. And then, like, to get sucked into something like that, I never really thought I would. And I feel like that's probably what a lot of people feel like when they get stuck into something and then they come out of it.
Right.
Like, I have to the point where, like, I cannot go down the road that the shop is on.
Uh-huh.
I physically shake like that, like tremble.
Uh-huh.
It's like a physical, it's wild.
Right.
I've never had like a, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like a physical reaction to a place like that.
Right.
Didn't know that was a thing, but.
Right. Well, that kind of just goes to show you like what they had put you through if you're, you know, sent into some sort of episode just because you're right by it or something, uh-huh. You know?
Yeah.
Like that's probably a good indication. And I think, you know, hearing you talk about like these things, like, you know, they put your personal information out there and everything like that, to do something like that. The world's pretty messed up, but I like to think that, you know, they're kind of showing their hand, I guess, at that point, if that's the right phrasing. I don't know.
They're showing how unprofessional they are. That's like what they're doing.
It seems as though maybe like anybody could see that that's an inappropriate thing to do.
He made himself, you know, made himself look like an ass. Oh, what started all of it is I made his comment or like his message to me through the shop page, my cover photo, because he said something about like, we don't give a fuck about you or like some fucking shit like that, like, you know, and I was like, wow, that's on their business page. You know what? Fuck you. And then I post it. So, and then that's how my clients and friends, like, went on their page, did all that stuff. And then I was like, oh, my God, he's going to murder me. So, because, like, we're talking about a dude that actually, like, came out of prison. Mm. And I had heard him brag about studying dark psychology. Ooh, dark psychology. Ooh, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, so you're a master manipulator now. Cool.
Right.
You know, and I was like, oh, that's dope. But getting out of the shop, yeah, so I was technically fired. And I did not see it coming. It was right. No, I don't want to bring that up. Because it is a touchy topic, but okay. There was like a weird situation that happened, and then they started like talking about something that has nothing to do with them. And then I was like, I came in because he wanted to talk to me, and then I was just standing there. Like I went in, washed my hands. It was long enough where you could like address someone if they walk in the door.
Yeah.
And I just was not addressed and I felt disrespected. And I was just like, hey. And then it set him off. He just exploded, screaming at me and stuff. And I think they were just planning on doing that.
Right.
But I was causing trouble. Mm. He said I was getting too comfortable. And I was like, oh, I'm getting too comfortable because you're doing fucked up shit and I'm going to tell you about it. Okay. So,
I've never understood, just to make a little comment about what you just said, I've never understood like a business that says it seems like you're getting a little too comfortable or like a little too confident, you know? Yeah. And it seems like to openly just like say that to an employee.
Oh, yeah, and purposely knock them down because he would do that too.
Wouldn't you want an employee that would be like confident and comfortable in a place? Like, isn't that kind of the goal when you have employees? Like what else would you want them to feel? Do you want them to feel threatened and like they can't?
Well, he said they wanted to have an all-woman shop. So what does that tell you?
Hmm.
You know what I mean? If it's that easy to manipulate me, like, not saying that I'm like, whatever, I'm so, we can't get me. But like, I feel like I am like, have common sense and street smart enough, you know, and like, especially coming out of that being my childhood. But like, just somehow, if you got the cracks, they'll.
Yeah. Well, even anybody with the most common sense, I mean, if you're dealing with like a professional abuser, you know, I mean, anybody could be susceptible to that, yeah. I would think. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine really just having to like deal with that.
Oh, yeah. Day. Oh, yeah. And then being like, yeah, I went to prison because did you go from, I don't freaking know. He said that he beat somebody up so bad they almost died. They were in a coma. And so he went to prison.
Yikes.
He came out and he didn't know how to use cell phones or technology.
The way that you said that, he said that, made me think that he was just using that as a scare tactic and he probably didn't go in for much of anything.
That sounds about right.
But yeah. I mean, hey, I wouldn't want to test anyone on that.
Right.
But I mean, if that's the way that it came out, it just kind of sounds like.
Right. Well, yeah, not to justify it, because I also don't really know what it's like to, not to justify everything they did, but just for that train of thought, it almost seems like, I guess if I went to prison, you might have to make yourself seem a little more threatening, maybe, to get by.
Yeah, especially right. when, like,
that's
you're short.
That's kind of my point.
Is that, sorry, I didn't mean to
stop. No, you're good. There, but you're good.
I didn't mean to talk over you, too.
You're good.
But it seems like maybe, so I guess I could see that, whether or not it actually makes it okay right. is a different story. But yeah. I guess, like, I could see that, at least, but, sorry.
I don't know. He's kind of scary. It could be true.
Yeah. You never know. Be. Like I said, I wouldn't want to test anybody.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know that if some grown man wanted to beat my ass, I would probably die. Because it would just break me in half. I have no muscles. I just do art on the couch. Yeah. And just kind of sink into it and just be like, what up?
Just chill.
Chilling.
Yeah.
Watching ghost shows.
Yeah.
Nice. It sounds like a pretty good time.
That's a good gig.
Yeah. So tell me, I guess, from that experience, you know, the moment that you're fired, you know, where do you go from there, I guess? Like, what's your mindset at that point? In a way, you know, you're sort of freed from this place, but then it's like, you know, you kind of have to figure out how you're going to go forward. So what's sort of going through your mind at this point?
Well, at this point, I was still dealing with severe pain in my body. So, like I said, they still haven't figured it out. But it's, like, only on the left side of my body, the whole left side. And when it gets really bad, it will go up into my face. And they're like, ew, we don't know what it is. So, I was already at a point, like, mentally where I was just, like, so whatever. You think when this happens, like, I seriously, like, I've been dealing with this pain crap for like 6 years, and only in the past like 2.5, 3 it's gotten really bad. And when you think that you're gonna lose your career that you worked for so hard to establish yourself, and then think that it's all gonna be taken away, like if someone chopped your hand off, I know that I could just do art in a different way.
Right.
Or whatever, but it wouldn't be the same.
I feel like I've noticed a lot of tattoo artists. They all have, like, similar, like, back issues, or, like, there's some kind of pain involved, because they're all always just hunched over and doing their work like that and everything, and I feel like that's a fairly common thing.
Yeah, it is, actually. I've noticed that I come across people who tend to have issues with their upper shoulders.
Yeah.
And it seems like the older we get, you know, we've had phones, computers, whatever, sitting like this. I mean, I used to sit at a computer with my leg, like, up next to me, and I got problems from that.
Yeah.
So, like, what can happen with tattoo artists is, like, if you have enough muscle built up right here. So, for example, with me, I'll have to have, like, my husband, with all of his body weight, like, put his hands, like, literally, like, right here, like his thumb is in my neck.
Yeah.
He just pushed down on it, and then my arm feels fine again. Because mm-hmm. my arm, like, my hand will start going purple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that from people being hunched over and those muscles being strong, those muscles being strong, but there's like the collarbone, right? Yeah. And like all the veins, and then there's like neck muscles right in there uh-huh. That go through like it's called the thoracic outlet. And when that thoracic outlet, when like it's, you know, inflamed or swollen, or like the muscles are too swole, I guess. And like, it will close that off, and that's what causes like all the pain issues and arm issues and stuff. And it will, because it's way up here in your neck area, that's what makes it shoot down your body.
Yeah.
But guess what? You know how much medical debt I'm in for Spectrum to still not figure out the problem, but I keep telling them what the problem is, but they don't listen to me.
Right. I feel like that's a fairly common thing.
Oh, yeah.
People like,
why aren't...
I know what's going on. I know what hurts and what don't.
Yeah.
But yet, guys are just, you know, trying everything but probably the one thing that they need to do.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, like I get injections in my spine. Uh-huh. So that's what helps me now. Hmm. For the most part. They have to, like, do another shot, though, because, like, I can't lift my arm without pain past this point. Like, mm-hmm. I can't lift it up. And it's the same, it's right about there for this arm. And when I'm putting makeup on, I can't reach, like I can't do this and have like actual like precision control.
Uh-huh.
It's weird, like from all these muscles and like having to use them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You would never know. But yeah, like I watch my apprentice and my coworker, and like I'm like, hey, take a break. You know what I mean? Like I try to like be on them now because like I don't want them to have anything of what I have. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's good that you can have some apprentice to do things. I think it's kind of maybe similar to how people who maybe had a rough childhood can have kids and then give their kids a different upbringing, I guess. It's not quite the same thing, but it's similar.
It's close enough. Yeah. Because, like, you know, I wouldn't want to pass on the abuse. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, that's a really good way to put it, actually. Mm. Yeah.
So now that you're at this new place, you have this new perspective, you can see what this career can be. Where do you find that, like... Has it sort of revamped your passion for it, even, like, you know, despite all these, you know, medical issues and things like that? I mean, has it sort of gotten you back into the feeling of, like, oh, this is what I've wanted?
You know? Ever since there's been some hope again from these, like, injections and stuff. So the hope that I got from... finally getting some sort of medical attention, it feels like it revamped. It revamped everything. And also when I haven't seen my extended family in, like, years, I went down there to visit them. And that also was, like, you know, revamping, a little kick in the ass to, like, you can be successful. It's possible. You just have to, like, you have to actually want it. Or, like, I guess not actually want it, because isn't that what, like, Kim Kardashian got in trouble for? Oh, no, she was telling people that they needed to just work.
Yeah.
Just go, or something like that. I don't know.
I believe the quote was something, like, along the lines of, like, get off your ass and work.
Oh, yeah, something like that. That's not what I was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what I meant. I was trying to go into saying that's not what I meant. Hmm. I don't know what I was talking about in the first place. So, not bad.
We were talking about, like, your... like revamping your passion for this. And then I think the last thing that you had mentioned was going and seeing your extended family.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, like, my uncle is pretty successful. So just seeing that, like, someone close by to me is that is like successful, then I feel like it's actually obtainable. You know what I mean? So I actually started designing skateboards and sweatshirts and other like clothing items and a fanny pack.
Nice.
But I like designing products now, and like so now I have them available for people to get.
Nice.
So I've just been kind of messing around with that. Yeah, branching out. Yep.
Smart. I mean, that just kind of like piggybacks off of what you're saying earlier about, you know, having all the pain from tattooing and stuff like that. What if you get to the point where they'll never figure out what's causing your pain and it never gets fixed and you just can't take it anymore? You have to have something to fall back on. So
Yeah, because like with this, well, ever since switching machines, it's been a lot better. Like going from a traditional coil to a battery-powered rotary in the shape of a pen, it is so much nicer for my tiny little hands.
Right. Probably weigh a lot less too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was going to say something about that specifically.
Less vibration?
Yeah. I don't know. It was in response to whatever you said. I don't.
About branching out to, like, doing different things.
Yes. Oh, yeah, because even my arm would get so bad that I couldn't even write or draw.
Right.
So, like, I actually, like, I had to have, I'd have my husband, like, help me wash my hair. It was that bad. Like, it was so bad. So, my takeaway is just, you know, people are like, posture, pay attention to how you're sitting, dirt, dirt, dirt. And it's like, yeah, fucking listen. Otherwise, you end up like me. Because I was like, nah, I'll be fine. Everything's fine. Living off Adderall and Red Bull. That was like my apprenticeship. Oh my God, that was so long ago. But, you know, just not taking care of yourself already so young and then just doing that for so long. I mean, not the beginning part, but like the physical work aspect.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't fucking know.
We don't fucking know.
Yeah, we don't fucking know
either. Nobody fucking knows. I really don't know. I really have no idea. What is life? Why are we here?
These are great questions. We've never really tackled it, but I guess we could give it a shot.
Here. All right. Here, let me phone a friend.
Yeah, right.
No.
Deal or no deal?
I want to switch. We can come back to tattooing in a bit here, but I want to switch over and talk a little bit about the art aspect of what it is that you do. And I guess what, I mean, like drawing, I myself am not talented as far as drawing or an artist. I can play music well.
How would you know it? You're good at everything, Danny. Get the fuck out of here. You're good at anything. Come on.
Thank you.
Get out of here.
But what? Jeez. I can't take compliments. Well, I'm horrible at taking compliments.
Over there blushing.
I know.
Oh, it's so red.
I'm glad that we don't have the cameras rolling.
They are rolling, though.
Shoot.
No.
Uh-oh.
You didn't get me crying, did you? Oh.
No, they turn off for that.
Bullshit.
Perfect. Cool. Yeah, that's a pretty interesting.
I mean, they're
sweating.
They're
like
blinking red, so that tells me that they're still recording. Mm. So, as far as I'm concerned, they're still going.
Mm. Right on. That's great.
Well, they got her crying. They got me blushing. So,
he might have accidentally got me secretly picking my nose.
Don't worry, I do that all the time.
But tell me a little bit about what drawing does for you, I guess. Like, where did you find that, you know, that was something that you were good at and that you could, you know, kind of, like how you had mentioned, you know, there was no paper in front of you. You couldn't doodle. You couldn't stay focused on something. Is it something that sort of helped you stay focused? And then what does it do for maybe your mental health, too? Mm. That was a lot in one question.
Yeah. No, it's...
I already forgot it.
How did I not forget it yet? Oh, I forgot it. For real, though. Wait, so... No. Oh, the mental health aspect?
Mm.
Drawing got me through. Got me through. Mm. Got me through. got me through my childhood. Fucking sucked. But yeah, I at least had drawing and just creating and whatever. But I, growing up, I watched my grandpa. He was really talented when it came to like anything art related. So I grew up watching him draw. He taught me how to draw, and he taught me how to sing too. So that's cool. And then he was an award-winning wood carver. So he could carve like little like mermaids and fish and stuff. And it was like, it's one of his unfinished pieces, but it's like this big ish and like the mermaids about like that big and like the fish. I mean, it's amazing.
Did he ever do anything bigger with like chainsaws?
No, no. Just like the fine.
Just the little things like the little knickknacks.
Well, also like the crest for the back of their houseboat when they had it. Carved it and then they stuck it to the back of the boat. It was really cool. It was like their own crest, and then it was the boat was named after my grandma, and then the dinghy was named after me.
All right.
So yeah.
You get to be the dinghy.
Yeah, the dinghy. That's me. Just a little dinghy.
So it was just like it was something that kind of made you say kind of got you through your childhood in a way.
Oh yeah.
What do you think, like, why do you think that drawing or like art has the power to do something like that, to like get you through things or help people? Like what about art do you find that helps you
escape? You know, kind of like reading a book, except you control it. Like I mean, you control your own imagination, yeah, but like, you know what I'm saying? If I could just sit there, I can be like, well, I'm gonna draw an apple. You know, I'm gonna draw a cat head. Whatever. So instead of it being like, these are wizards and this is magic, and it's like stuck within that.
Right.
So, I don't know. But that.
Something that you have your own control over.
Yes. Because when you don't have your life in your control or able to control it, then there's something.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Where do you think, like, as far as artist control? Because I know with me, in terms of, like, songwriting, I could work on a song for months.
And it's still not done.
It's just, like, not done. I still can't figure it out. I can't find that thing that's like, oh, this song is done. And then sometimes I think, is it ever going to be done? Like, in what way should I just consider something done? You know, is that kind of how you feel? It sounds like maybe that might be how you feel.
Yeah, I feel that way when I look back at tattoo pieces that I did even like a year and a half ago. I'm like, man, I can make that better. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so easy to say, oh, I can go back and make that better or fix it or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm not really entirely sure what the cutoff point is. Sometimes your clients make the cutoff point for themselves.
Sure.
But, you know, as far as like the whole like client tattoo artist relationship, like, is personal, and like we're like unlicensed therapists basically. Like I know a lot of things, you know, about a lot of people. And it's just like when you hear sad stories, I try really hard not to like internalize it. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It's really hard to not. So mentally, besides like the concentrating and stuff, like we call it tattoo brain. Like when we're done tattooing and then we're just like, durr. You know what I mean? Like then we just are like, yeah, sorry, I got tattoo brain. I definitely can't do math right now. You know what I mean?
You're just, like, so far, like, in the zone after tattooing that it takes you kind of a moment to kind of snap back out of it?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yep. Because you're just kind of, like, I don't know. It just feels like you're more paying attention to, like, here.
Right.
And then, like, you'd step away from it, and then you're like, oh. I don't know. You can, like, feel there's other space around.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you ever have it? I'm just curious because of the way you said that sometimes the client cuts it off or like cuts off the piece when they're like ready for it to be finished or they think it's done. Do you ever find yourself, like, if that were to happen, say you're working on a piece for somebody and they're like, okay, it looks good, it's done, but you personally don't feel as though like what you've done was finished, or maybe what you like maybe it, to you it wasn't quite what you thought it could be. Do you find yourself, like, do you take that home with you? Do you take it somewhere and try to finish it, like, on a piece of paper? Or, like try and draw it out yourself in the way that you see it? At maybe, like, after the client has already, like, gone or has, like, this tattooed on them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I guess, like, I don't really have people that, like, cut off tattoos necessarily. It's more so of, like, the client-artist relationship is, like, you know what I mean? Then you got to cut it off.
Sure.
Or, like, a client, well, a client can make anybody uncomfortable. Like, people can just make people uncomfortable. So, like, what do you do if your client makes you uncomfortable? Cut them off. But, like, as far as tattooing and whatever, usually people, when they get tattooed by me, they come back and get another one. So if that says anything,
right.
at least it seems like people like me. And that's,
yeah,
that's all I can ask for. I try to be welcoming and funny and, you know,
Chill.
To kind of like I try to avoid that one.
To kind of piggyback off of Danny's question, I don't know if this is kind of what you were trying to say, but what if, have you ever got like a client come in and say, hey, I want this, and like you go ahead and like draw that in like your vision and how you see it, and they don't really see it that way, so you have to like redo it, or you tell them your vision and they're like, no, I want it like this. Do you like take that home and then recreate it in your mind and your space?
Oh yeah. I'll just do that on my iPad. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's, I think it's a good idea.
Right.
And then I'll just draw it, and then, or it ends up as an unfinished project, and then I just let it keep pushing it down. You know, in the Procreate app, just, and I gotta scroll through all of it. But yeah, no, I'll do that. And then just whenever I'm feeling inspired. So sometimes, like, I'll be on an art kick and I'll be inspired for like 4 days straight. And I'm like, I don't know. I just have to get it out.
Right.
Otherwise, I won't be able to sleep. Uh-huh. I'll just like think about it all the time. I'll be like, that's a good idea. I need to draw that dragon just like this. And then I could put it on someone's arm. You know what I mean? It's like. Yeah.
Now, I'm curious because we've had a few people in here who are in, like, the hair industry. There's stylists out in Grand Rapids. And I think, like, a common thing that you hear, like, if someone's not happy with the cut that they get, a common phrase is, well, remember, it will grow back. Now, in terms of, like, tattoos, it's not quite the same thing. You can't grow your skin back over the tattoo,
Technically, your skin does grow back over it. We could always take a cheese grater to a tattoo, and then it could just grow back, right?
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, just.
I've never really had it put that way before.
I just don't want to do that.
Just slice it right off.
Yeah.
Like a really thinly sliced piece of roast beef, just like.
Nice.
I don't know.
I never really thought about it like that. Yeah. Interesting.
Tattoo beef. Gross.
But yeah, I mean, what do you do in that situation? I mean, do you like, what has anybody ever like gotten a tattoo from you and just been like, oh no, I don't like this? Like, does that happen? I mean, I can't imagine it happening very often, I guess. Do people complain to you or have issues like with the work that you do, and how as like an artist do you handle that, I guess, or both, like as a tattoo artist and just a general artist, I guess.
I do what I can in my power to like make my client happy. As far as like if they're like, ew, I don't like this, I'm like, well, I can cover it. I'll just draw over it with marker, and I can. If you want. You know what I mean? Or I can just, like, color it a different color. what do you want from me? But I haven't had anything like that happen. So, one time in my whole career, all right, I spelled a word wrong.
Oh, no. It wasn't somebody's name, was it?
No, it was the word aspirin.
Oh, interesting. How did you spell it? Do you mind me asking?
How I say it. So, aspirin, so without the, okay, so it's A-S-P-I-R-I-N, and that's not how I spelled it. A-S-P-R-I-N.
Okay.
So it wasn't like a super bad, like, holy shit, it's like never, you can't fix that. Because, like, I think Sonia at Light Touch Tattoo in Big Rapids, I think she fixed it. But, I mean, there was like 5 people in her little group. We all looked at the tattoo. Everybody was like, it's great.
Yeah.
And then she leaves, and then it's like 3 hours later, she like calls the shop. She's freaking out. It's like, so.
That's why you always gotta have, you know, your client double check it when you.
I did.
Put that stencil on there. Is it good? Good, because it's gonna be there forever and like
at the very
an
least,
hour.
Like take a dictionary with you if you're gonna get a word tattooed on you.
Or like,
you
know, like, yeah, or
just Google it.
That's what I'm saying. Like I was so confident that I spelled it right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it wasn't even like a thought in your mind.
It wasn't. I swore I was spelling it right.
Right.
Who fucking spells aspirin? Like on a daily basis.
Right.
I mean, I guess like
let alone gets it tattooed on them. That is also, I'm curious about that more so.
She had like a heart condition. Forgive me, because I can't exactly remember. I think it was HLHS. I'm not entirely sure. I'm probably not remembering that right. Maybe I am. Who knows?
We'll never know.
So it was a heart, and then it was like had flowers, and then there was like a banner, and it said, take an aspirin. And it's because of her heart condition. I don't know, something. So I was already afraid to tattoo her being I was only like 5 years into tattooing at this point because she had that medical condition. It was something to do with her heart, right?
Right.
So I was like, oh my God, like what if she like bleeds out? Like I'm freaking out. Like what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Her blood is thin. Oh my God. And it really wasn't that big of a deal, but I went so light that like you could easily just fix it or cover it because it was just like, you know, I don't know. I don't have an example of how light it was.
Now, I'm curious about this because it seems like tattoos are one of those things where I guess it depends. Because there are people who like, you know, might not hire somebody because they have a tattoo or something like that. Old-fashioned people, I guess, stuff like that. But isn't it interesting how like people can hear or see, not hear, you can't hear a tattoo, but people can see a tattoo. And kind of make this assumption about it or make this, like, general judgment about it, like, and then they hear the meaning behind it and suddenly it makes sense, you know? Like, because in my head, I'm like, who would get the word aspirin tattooed on them? That seems weird. And, like,
I'm
kind of, like, making this judgment without really thinking about it. And then you explain it and I'm like, oh, yeah.
It makes sense.
It makes total sense to me that, like, why someone would get that tattooed.
Why would somebody get the Gordon Food Service logo with a horseshoe behind it.
Maybe they sued them and got lucky.
Oh, that's actually a good guess.
That's actually not bad.
That's a good guess.
Way to go, Andrew.
She got her horse from the Gordon Food Service farm.
Oh.
So that's why she wanted that.
Interesting.
I thought that was a really weird one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it ultimately stems down to like, oh, it's not your tattoo, mind your fucking business. You know,
it doesn't
concern you
at all. Now, it will concern me though if you want to get a tattoo that's facing you because I'll be like, don't do that. Huh? It's going to look upside down. Please, for the love of God, just get it the right way.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess more so now to take that and put it into a question. Do you see a changing in the general attitude towards people who have tattoos now as time goes on? I remember being a kid and adults would just say, well, don't get tattoos. Nobody's going to hire you if you have tattoos. Yep. Or the same thing with like a piercing or something like that.
Yep.
I remember that.
So now, given, you know, it's everybody always says this, it's 2022 now. Like the changing year just makes everything more like feasible, I guess.
It does.
People to
it
change
just
their
makes
mindsets,
it worse
I guess.
That things haven't changed.
Right.
You know? I'm
right.
Just like, time exactly. goes on, but nothing has changed.
So, like, why? Stupid. I mean, what? Why do you think that? You know, why do you think people for so long had this like a preconceived notion about people with tattoos? Maybe not everybody, obviously, but like yeah. you know, certain people. Well, and it's sort of changing as time goes on. What do you think makes that the case?
Well, it's kind of like any collection of people in their opinion, I guess. Like, before Instagram, and I feel like Instagram did a lot for us as tattoo artists in general. But before that was really going, for example, my grandma, when she saw the shop for the first time and she saw like the piercer, I don't know if he might have been doing drugs. I don't know. I'm pretty sure he wasn't. But my grandma was like, is he doing meth in the basement? And I was like, I don't think you can just ask that out loud within earshot of people. Like,
old people don't give a shit.
They have, I know.
They really zero don't. Filters yeah. at all. They're just like, I'm old. No one's going to touch me. I'm going to say what's on my mind.
Yeah. That's
he's doing meth, isn't he?
That's what I was like.
Bet he is.
Maybe. Whoa.
That's his fucking... business, not mine.
Yeah,
I ain't
exactly.
worried about what that man's right. doing. I'm here to do my job, not worry about him.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. But like,
sorry to interrupt you, but I just have to say this. Do you think Breaking Bad, being a show in a general sense, like maybe destigmatized the use of meth over time? Like, it got people more open to the idea that meth exists and like,
oh, possibly.
Like, this is a thought
like
that just occurred to me. Because now that we're talking about this sort of thing, like, it might have given people more of an idea of the fact, like, how big a reality, like, methamphetamine is. And, like,
oh,
that
yeah.
it's, like, just around and people do it. And you might not know that people are doing it. Or, like, it might have just helped in a general acceptance. Like, how drugs are kind of being more generally accepted as to be decriminalized rather than, like, be illegal. To
yeah.
focus on the addictive aspect of it. I don't know why I wanted to go into this whole tangent. It was just meth got brought up and it made it like a Breaking Bad, I guess. I don't know.
We're talking about drugs.
But, yeah, I guess that's more food for thought that people
no, it makes
listening
sense.
Can
yeah,
decide
I'm hungry.
For themselves. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, between yeah. the tattoo roast beef comment and that.
Yeah.
You're just hungry.
Yeah, true. I could eat. But anyways. We were talking about something else, not meth, and I forgot what we were talking about. Can you help us out, Andy? Can you get us back there?
I don't know why I'm here. I just work here.
Oh, we were talking about the destigmatization of tattoos and the idea that they're becoming more acceptable to generations that maybe in the past hadn't accepted them. I know that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, I think it's literally because of the internet, you know, because everybody's opinion on it, they were like, it's bikers and people that are in prison and like all of like the negative like whatever of society, like, you know, I don't know, the scum of society, whatever. But I'm so glad we're not, like, it's not looked at that anymore, and I'm really glad that it's looked at as art. You know, instead of like, why you got that tattoo? I'm like, dang, look at that tattoo. Look, like the art of it. You know, like Andy's arm is dope. That's why I said that earlier, because I was like, look at that shit. That's dope.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're welcome. But like, I don't know.
Right. I mean, do you have anything you want to ask Andy?
What is the weirdest tattoo that you've ever tattooed?
Perfect. The lightning round is starting right now. That's the first question. I was planning to ask something similar to that. We'll start this now.
Okay, so I didn't actually tattoo it because it was that weird. And I just got the fuck away from that. This woman, she wanted me to tattoo... Well, first she wanted to bring it in. She wanted to bring it in so I could get a picture and like draw from whatever. She wanted to get her placenta tattooed, like her child's her child's placenta tattooed on her. and it being like having roots come out of it and like a tree.
Oh, I get that.
And I, yeah.
That's
and
kind
I mean,
of beautiful.
It's,
yeah, that's nice. Yeah. Just initially,
it's
the
beautiful in
that,
a way, but I'm not wild, trying to look at your crispy looking placenta thing that's been in your freezer for God knows how long.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
I know people eat those though. They eat it like a little chip.
Yeah, yeah. People do, they do that.
Okay, so we're going to move on. Where is the weirdest place that you tattooed on somebody, in your opinion?
The weirdest place.
Yeah, like, did you tattoo, like, someone's gooch or, like...
A fucking like... gooch? No, I have not.
That's an honest question.
Thank goodness.
Well, I mean, in your opinion, what would be the... I mean, I guess the initial question, what is the weirdest place that you did tattoo? And I guess what would be the... Like, do you have, like, a no-go? Like, I'm not going there?
Yeah. Like, yeah, like, so what's your limit?
Oh, there's limits. I think the obvious limits. I'm trying to think. I mean, I have like, not really like tattoos that are weird that I put on people, but more so like experiences, like when I tattooed. Okay, so let me back up here. Fred, I don't know, I think he was like 80 something. And he found out that I worked there. And I think he just walked in the shop one day, and he was like, oh, I'm going to get tattooed by her. Yeah. So he was so weird. He got, like, the weirdest tattoos. He got, like, a little fly on this hand. And I don't remember what the other bug was. Damn it. Whatever. So, and then it was, like, Tweety Bird and Sylvester. Like, really weird, like, just... stamped on them, right?
Yeah.
And, like, the dudes at the shop thought it was funny because I was an apprentice at the time, so they were like, ooh, Fred's back. I was like, whatever. So the tattoo that I did on him, it was the last one that I did. Oh, my God. Okay. So it was a big, like, skull with, like the Joker, like, clown little whatever in the hat. So I was tattooing it. And... you know, I'm sure this dude, you know, he's been lonely, it's like, his whole life or whatever. Who knows? So, like, I literally, like, there was a black hen on his back. And it was, like, this big.
Oh.
Like, it was, like, it was a little smaller than that, probably. I can't get my finger on the way. So, I was not even that close to it. And it literally, I just watched it. And it was just the nastiest. It was, just, like... I saw it was like Dr. Pimple Popper bullshit in real life, and I was like,
it just went off on its own.
Yeah, dude, it like it was that large and that in charge.
Large and in charge. Amazing.
For people, I was like, what?
For people not watching the video, Andy and I just erupted in laughter at the very sound of that sentence. It was hilarious. That's amazing. That was the best way to put that.
It was so bad.
Interesting.
And the other time was this lady was wearing sandals and she was walking around Tulip Time. It had to have been. She was walking around Tulip Time for like 2.5 hours or something. I don't even know. She was like, oh, this is the last place to go to the market. And I was like, okay. And she wanted a tattoo on her foot. And seriously, that was the rankest smell that I've ever smelled.
Yeah.
As far as, like, tattooing people goes, I was just like, what? And then being an apprentice, like, I didn't know that I could just be like, hey, go wash your foot, lady.
Right.
You know what I mean? So right. I was just, like, dying. Luckily, it was a tiny tattoo.
Right.
But those are the only two, like, you know, that come to mind.
Can you think of a tattoo that you did where it was, a very rewarding experience? Like, the person you tattooed was just, like...
Oh, yeah,
totally
they cry.
Stoked or, yeah, something
yeah,
like that.
I've had a couple people cry, and, like, I'm a crybaby, so then that makes me cry, and then we're both crying, and then it's just, you know, game over, because
right.
then we're just like, oh, my God, they're just like, thank you, and I'm like, I'm glad you love it, you know, and it just goes back and forth.
Mm.
So, you know, usually, like, memorial ones or, usually memorial ones.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Well, you didn't say your no-goes.
Oh.
Nice. Thank you for bringing this back up, Andy.
Yeah. Okay, so I won't tattoo any private areas. I say that I will maybe look at it for 10 grand, but if you want me to touch anything, it's going to be another 30 grand. So I'm just making it so nobody can afford this.
Yeah.
So you can see the price goes up if someone is like that adamant, and even then I'm still going to probably say no.
Right.
So,
I guess a better question is, what amount of money would it take for you to consider tattooing some, like, a spot where you wouldn't? This might be a strange question.
It has to be a couple hundred grand. How about that?
Right. Maybe we should cut this out, because there's going to be somebody that listens to this that wants like a tattoo on their dick or something.
You know what?
They're going to be like,
hey,
if they're going to pay me
a couple hundred grand, and I'm going to be able to buy a house instead of rent. Well, yeah. I guess not right now. Not in this housing market.
Well, that'd be one hell of a down payment.
Sheesh. Yeah. It'd be dope.
Well, hell yeah.
That's
right.
What I'm
cool.
saying. Like,
if someone hears it,
I guess
maybe I won't.
What if the release of this podcast started a campaign to find somebody that was willing to pay that much money to have something, like, that wants a tattoo, like, on their private area or something?
Watch, it's Elon Musk. I'd be like, you want to give me like a whole?
Well, that would be kind
I
of
want a
interesting.
Tattoo
I mean, like Charmander. Isn't he the person that tattooed Elon Musk?
Yeah, it'd be like he tattooed the T for Tesla.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I want to get a tattoo of Charmander right on the tip of my pee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I could see right. that.
Yeah.
Just get a little smiley face.
You like can probably
like the Fruitport Water Tower, but just this is getting weird. This is getting weird.
Yeah, we're
going off the rails here. Skirt. We are.
Skirt. I like going off the rails. Like I was saying, I got a train and I jump tracks all the time. But the best part is going off the rails, because you're like, what the fuck is that? And I'm like, fucking buckle up. Buckle the fuck up. That's what I tell people when I'm about to tattoo them, too. Because, like, at the shop, we just make a bunch of, like, noises at each other. Or, like we'll sing and stuff, too. But, like, mostly we just make people laugh. So I'll tell people, like, if Christy's clients come in, I'll tell them to, like, buckle up. Because they're, like, it's going to get weird by the end of the day, for sure. Yeah. It's going to get weird.
Weird.
Nice. Weird's good.
Weird.
Yeah. Weird's good.
Weird.
Do you have
weird.
What's the best tattoo you've ever done? Or to you necessarily. What do you think is the best tattoo you've ever tattooed?
What's the best song you've ever written, Danny? Jeez, what are you gonna just throw that out there?
I'm like panicking. I'm like, oh my god, what if all my clients hear this and all of them are like, fuck you, Emily.
Yeah. No,
I get that now. I understand why that would have probably not been a cool question.
Well, how about this?
Thank you for calling me up.
How about this?
Thank you.
Is there a tattoo that stands out the most that you've done?
There's
much better, Andy. Thank you.
There's a portrait that I did of a toddler. It's like about this big.
Yeah.
Where did I put it? I think it's right.
On some skin, maybe?
No, I'm just kidding. It's right in this spot.
Okay.
But I got an award for it. Second place, small, black, and gray.
Ooh.
And I was like, I got an award.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I think it's pretty cool. Like, portraits are freaking hard.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
So, especially like doing like a baby face, baby faces, instead of doing like a celebrity.
It's just completely someone that you've never seen in your life.
If you screw it up, then it doesn't look like them.
Yeah.
You just put like one little in the wrong spot.
They're the one, it has to do with their family, and it's going to be on them, so they look at it all the time. They know what that baby always looks like, so they're going to be like, oh, that don't really look like the baby.
Yeah.
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 So then you knock it out of park, then that just kind of like makes it a lot better.
Granted, I haven't done a portrait in probably a couple years now. But it's not hard to pick it back up.
That's true.
So.
Yep. All right. I have one more question for you, and then we'll kind of start wrapping up a little bit. What do you think your time tattooing has taught you about yourself?
That I'm more resilient than I thought. And really, really stubborn. I guess I didn't realize how stubborn I was until I had people being like, hey, you know what? Maybe you should take a break from tattooing. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to. You know, but it just, you don't want to give up on your dreams or whatever.
Right.
I also learned that meeting new people is okay. Like, there are good people that actually, like, are good friends and don't want to use you for tattoos. Because that, unfortunately, happens.
Oh, yeah.
Like, 80% of the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
It sucks. So, the outgoing aspect, if I'm in the right environment, like, I'll be okay. Like, I was a little bit uncomfortable here at first, you know, just because it's, like, new. But, like, when, you know, I'm able to actually somewhat relax and overall get, like, a...
feel.
A sense of it or whatever, and then I'll be okay. I wasn't used to... I didn't... I wasn't able to do that before. I would have to have other people order for me at restaurants and stuff. Or, like, I wouldn't go to the grocery store by myself. Or, you know, and then tattooing really was like, hey, we're going to make you answer the phone.
Oh, I don't even like that.
It's the worst.
It is.
Yeah, I know. There's some places
I don't like talking on the phone.
I don't
like,
either.
Sometimes I won't order food from a place if they don't have a direct like order online thing.
And I totally have done that.
Yeah, there's plenty of places like specifically in Grand Haven. There's like one like Chinese food restaurant that you can order online. It's the only place we eat at when it comes to like ordering Chinese food. I don't know why.
You can order online at Kazumi's.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna drive all the way to the mall from Grand Haven, not the bridge traffic. Ugh,
this is from Grand Haven.
This is alienating a lot of people who have no
idea.
You don't
live in Grand Haven.
I'm in there. I'm there all the time,
though. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, do you have to drive through the Gauntlet?
Probably. I'm not exactly sure what you're referring to.
The Gauntlet is it's that chunk of road that's like 25 miles an hour in between. Like it's like the main drag to Grand Haven.
Yeah, yeah. So like my girlfriend lives at the top of one of those hills with the nice, like, summer houses and stuff. Not quite at the top, but, like, midway up. She's, like, renting a house out there.
Fancy
enough.
I don't know.
I'd say fancy.
She in Grand Haven fancy. But, that's already fancy.
But it is a chore. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But it is a chore sometimes driving through there just with 25-mile-an-hour
speed. Yeah, not to mention with all the bridge construction.
Yeah, oh, my God. Too. And, like, half the time it, like, doesn't work.
Yeah,
I hope they fixed it.
I can get over that bridge faster on my bike when I take the trail where I have to walk it across. It's real sad.
I thought you meant that you were jumping it. Yeah. And I was like, I think someone tried that.
That would be cool.
My buddy Michael that I work with out here, he started a clothing company and he made a shirt that says occasionally stuck up.
I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great shirt.
Yeah, that shirt is so great. Yeah. It's so, like, it's really, really clever.
Yeah, that's very creative.
Like, especially, like, you know, people in Grand Haven are going to love that.
Oh,
yep,
for sure.
Or just, like, even tourists.
Yeah.
Tourists.
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 Okay.
Nice. Well, thank you again for doing this. Can you tell us some places where people could see your artwork or maybe how they can get in touch with you about getting a tattoo?
So I pretty much have everything under Kilvers. So with my last name being Chilvers, that's why it's Kilvers. But like my website, kilvers.com, I have all of my like art, tattoos, merchandise, other things.
All the things.
It's a magical wonderland on my website. Who knows? Who knows what you're going to find? There's that, and then also Instagram, that's Kilvers. Honestly, if you just Google Kilvers, all the crap will come up. So just do the Google.
Do the Googs.
Do the Goog. Give it a Goog.
Give it a Goog there, bud.
Give me the Google.
Hell yeah, brother. Give me the Goog.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I wish Trev was here for just this, like, 45 seconds of this podcast. He would have ate that up. He would have loved it. We're interviewing a friend of ours, Trevor, on Wednesday, who just has that oh, yeah, like, that impression. He says it probably, like, every time I'm around him. He just, like,
I need to be friends with this person because I do that all the time. Like, literally, we all go, oh, hell yeah, brother.
Oh, yeah, come by Wednesday. Y'all would probably get along. Yeah, come by Wednesday. Okay, so we normally close out. Well, first, I should ask if there's anything else you want to promote or let people know about that you have going on. It's okay to not. It's just I like to ask just in case we miss something.
I might start finally live streaming. Last time I did, my family bullied me online. So I had to build up the confidence. Yeah, I had to build up the confidence back up. And now I think I'm about ready. So I'll stream Animal Crossing or pretty much like Nintendo games, really.
Oh, so you're going to stream video games?
Yeah.
I thought maybe you were going to stream tattooing.
Oh, I could do that too. I was thinking art and video games, but live streaming tattooing would be intimidating. There is one person that I've seen that does that on Twitch. Yeah. Yes, only one guy, and I'm like, I don't really know, because then I had to be like, oh, my client's in it too. We gotta ask them.
It's
like, you know.
Of course.
So we close the show by having the guests give themselves some advice for the future. So just like if you ever listen to this, you'll always have that last little chunk of information that you can give to yourself for future you. So we'll close out with you giving future Emily some advice.
I had one. As you were talking, I was like, I got this. I guess believe in your intuition and your thought process because you're not as wrong as you think you are all the time.
Lovely.
So, I feel like that was pretty general, but yeah.
I'm sure when you hear it later, you'll know exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
I'll be like yes, it. I'm speaking in code to myself.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Nice. Well, hell yeah. Thank you again.
Thank you. I appreciate it. This was cool. It was nice meeting you both.
Hell yeah. Likewise.
Hell yeah.